You're listening to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Today, we're talking about alligators in North Carolina, why they're something of an elusive species for researchers, and what members of the public don't seem to understand, and what we need to learn to manage them sustainably. With us to answer your questions, Kirk Mante, habitat ecologist specializing in coastal wetlands, and Alan Boynton with the Wildlife Resources Commission, who is also the chair of the Alligator Task Force in the state. You have a few minutes left to ask your question. You can give us a call today at 910-343-1138 or email us at coastline@whqr.org. When we think about encountering alligators in more urban settings within the city limits, say, of Wilmington, Kirk Mante, what happens when you take a large alligator, say, out of a retention pond, and bring him to another area with other alligators, say the Holly Shelter Game Preserve?
Well, that's a great question, actually. First of all, it's sometimes very complicated to move large animals. It's very folks involved with bear and deer relocation and those kind of things already know this. Getting the animal safely, kind of sedated and safely onto a vehicle or a trailer where it can be moved, frequently results in the type of injury that means it's got to be euthanized anyway. So, I mean, typically the most common practice is to euthanize the animal where it's – and these are individual, usually large males that tend to be more aggressive and are used to people. But when they alligators, in fact, can be moved, and they're very similar to another very old species, the snapping turtle and the alligator snapping turtle in this. And then what they do is they perform an active kind of habitat scan. The problem with moving alligators and this kind of biology of doing a habitat scan is that they may not stay where you put them. If they deem for we may say scientifically that we know exactly what represents ideal alligator habitat, but they may, in fact, arrive there and say that, well, that's not exactly what they're looking for, and then unless they're prevented from leaving, may, in fact, leave the area and search out for what they consider to be a better habitat. And, again, they're not flawless creatures with perfect ideation of what they need, but it's very hard to control. Unlike bears, they may not go back to where they were trapped, which is great. However, it's very difficult to keep them in one place.
Alan Boynton with the Wildlife Resources Commission. I spoke with another coastal scientist several weeks ago, and she said essentially if you take an alpha male alligator, relocate him to a place with other alligators, either he's going to die or another male alligator is going to die in that setting. And so you're actually not doing a very humane thing by trying to relocate the gator. What is the Wildlife Resources Commission position on that?
Well, we try to avoid moving alligators for several reasons, but of course sometimes we have to. Mm-hmm. The result could, I suppose, be as you just explained. It's also possible that the alligator that was moved will just leave. That certainly happens. We know of situations where large alligators have moved quite a distance, and this is why the caller or the guy that emailed about Greenfield Lake, and where those alligators came from, it's hard to say. It could have been native alligators that were moving into Greenfield. That the Greenfield Lake's not that far from the river, and on the creek there, and also, as Kirk explained, people release pets, and this includes small alligators, even though it's illegal to hold alligators in captivity.
Right, but I guess this scientist's contention was that if you relocate, and I'm not entirely sure she was talking only about male alligators, but in this context it was male alligators, it's a death sentence for either that gator or the weaker gator in the place where that gator is being put. Would you agree with that?
Well, no, I don't. Alligators can live in fairly dense populations. It depends a little bit on the time of year. Mm-hmm. And also, relative to the mating season. and also the amount of resources in the area.
And what do you mean when you say resources?
Food.
Mm-hmm.
and space.
Mm-hmm.
So that moving alligator into a large riverine system might be different than in moving it into a swamp, you know, with limited open water. So it depends a little bit on the situation and time of year. I would say that could happen, but it's not a certainty.
Under what circumstances would the Wildlife Resources Commission say that it's okay to pull an alligator out of, say, somebody's retention pond and move him?
Well, certainly if the animal's public safety risk. If we see that it is not scared of people and it's in an area where it's going to continue to come into close contact with people, then we would remove it. We try not to do that. The alligators in North Carolina exist in metapopulations, and by that I mean there are areas with a fair number of alligators that are actively breeding, and they may be separated from other alligators by some distance, and so we try not to move alligators between these populations. Sometimes we have to. And it's an area that we need to do further research in to look at the genetic diversity of our alligator population. But as Kirk said, large alligators are difficult to move. So we can move fairly large alligators, but sometimes we just have to euthanize them.
We have someone who emailed. LJ asks, tell me about the presence or absence of alligators in the Cape Fear River. Alan Boynton, can you speak to that?
Well, we have alligators in the Cape Fear River and in the northeast Cape Fear River and for quite a distance up those rivers. Of course, there's the alligator, you know, at the battleship, and that's on the river, but it's not the only alligator in the river.
And we've also seen cell phone video, you know, these anecdotal stories and incidents of alligators playing in the surf. Well, playing is my own anthropomorphizing, I guess, of that. But they're surfing. They're crawling up on the beach. We know that they've been seen by paddle boarders in the Carolina Beach canals, the waterways around this area. Are those alligators, the ones on the beach, in the surf, and in the canals, are they a danger to humans, Kirk Mante?
Well, they certainly could be. Those frequently, though not always, are subadults or young adults that have been pushed out of whatever their favorite habitat may be. Or they may have been pushed out by land development or some other disturbance. The thing to remember, as Alan mentioned, is that, you know, over very short distances, the alligator is, in fact, one of the fastest animals on Earth. So, you know, within about 30, 40, 50 feet is a really challenging place to be. So certainly in the middle of the summer, you do not want, you know, a 6 or 8 or certainly a larger alligator washing up on the surf and for people to think that's something, you know, curious, because it's not a shark. It's not something that's suffering on the beach. It's quite content and warm and may have just had a couple fish to eat. So it's a good thing to keep a distance. But they certainly – they can survive in salt water, as the crocodile does, like Alan mentioned. But it's not their primary habitat. So it's usually an animal we want to keep people away from, and we want to take a close look at the animal in general to see, like, why it is there.
We have an
Rachel, I would also add that many times ponds behind the dune system can hold fresh water, and some of those ponds can be fairly good size. So alligators, as Kirk said, are not, you know, even though they can survive in salt water, they don't stay there long. But you may find them there on occasion, but they prefer fresh water. But sometimes they don't have to go far from the beach to find that.
We have an email from Tom who writes, I was surprised at how long it took for the Parks and Recreation Department to rebuild the boardwalk at Greenfield Lake and put up a safety rail, the alligators that float within a few feet of that boardwalk, in my opinion, are ready to attack anything, especially a small child, that falls in the water. Months ago, when voicing my concerns to the Parks and Rec Department, I was told it's never happened there, so should be of little concern. And he asks just how many alligator attacks have been recorded in North Carolina in, say, the last 20 years. And Alan Boynton, we asked that question earlier, and didn't you say there are zero fatal attacks that you know of?
Yes, but that certainly doesn't mean one could not happen.
And what is the likelihood of, when you think about Greenfield Lake and all the families and little kids that run around in that area feeding the ducks and the geese, and the gators that are present there, and then you think about this two-year-old at the Disney Resort that was killed by an alligator in June, and this was after other tourists, it turns out, had warned park employees about the presence of gators and some large gators. Do we need to be paying closer attention to this?
Well, my guess is that the park, I don't know the park managers personally, but my guess is that they're very aware of the alligators and their behavior. So, and we work or would work with them to remove alligators that they believe are a threat to people. We really depend on the property manager to contact us, and we'll be glad to look at situations, any particular situation there or anywhere, to determine whether or not a particular alligator is a threat. But because, as we mentioned before, because alligators can move long distances, and Greenfield Lake is fairly close to the river and on a creek and all, it would be difficult to, you know, remove all alligators from Greenfield Lake forever.
And I believe there are signs up warning about yes, and I think that there are signs saying don't swim in Greenfield Lake, and there was a drunk guy who jumped in the lake several years ago and got attacked, and he's fine from what I understand, and it was a drunk episode. But this person writes, people have been swimming and tubing the Black River and South River in Sampson and Bladen counties since forever. Are people in danger to continue to do so there, Alan?
Well, you know, Florida has a very large alligator population. Their estimate of their alligator population is about 1 million alligators. They have a lot of wetlands and, of course, a lot of people, and they have incidents where people have died and or been hurt sometimes when swimming. Of course, this child that was killed was not swimming, but it can certainly happen. But because of the low number of alligators in North Carolina, the risk is not high, and I suppose that's, you know, why we haven't seen that happen here.
And we have Charles from Wilmington. Welcome to Coastline, Charles. You're on the air.
Well, thank you for the show. I have a business here at Cape Fear Rivet Ventures, and I take quite a few people out during the year, different times to see gators and talk about the gators. And I've also been around Greenfield Lake. I've seen the people feeding them there. And in the Orton Lake beside the road, people feed them right beside the sign that says unlawful to feed alligators. So yeah, I find gators in the river that are really scared. We have to be really quiet to really get a good look at them. They really want to be back in the water. And I just keep seeing the problem with the gators are the people. I love to see the gators in the spring. I've heard them roar. I've seen them do their mating vibratory thing in the water, which is really rare. And I really like the gators. And there are a lot of gators. I can go out in the evening in the spring particularly and see 100 alligators in the river.
And when you're in a canoe, is it a canoe that you're in, Charles?
No, I have a 24-foot Carolina skiff that I take people out in the on the river. We do canoe, kayak through the Three Sisters a lot in the Black River. And I've lived in Florida. I've been to Okeechobee. I've been to the Okefenokee Swamp, seen hundreds of alligators together in the up against the dam of the Okefenokee. So they're a wild animal. You know, when they get loose, the fear of people there is a problem. And one of the largest alligators I've ever seen is on the Black River, has been on the Black River.
Okay, we're running out of time, Charles.
Okay, so,
but your main comment is don't feed the alligators because that's what's really creating the issue here.
Don't feed the alligators.
Yes.
Gracious, it's just a dangerous thing. And glad we have them here. Love
them.
Thanks for the show.
Thank you so much for your call, Charles. Before we end, I'd like to hear from both of you. If you could get one point across to the general public about what they really need to understand, what's the missing piece when it comes to public safety and dealing with alligators now that humans and gators are crossing paths more often? Alan Boynton, what would you have people remember?
Do not feed alligators and keep your distance from them.
Okay. Kirk Mante.
I think I'd echo that, too. One of the things that I think is really important as we become a ever more mobile culture, et cetera, is that when you've got people visiting you here on the coast, make them aware of the issues, too. Make them aware that there are alligators here and that we've all got to share the space together.
And that's this edition of Coastline. Alan Boynton, Kirk Mante, thank you both so much for joining us today. Coastline airs Wednesdays only through the month of August. In September, we fire up the Thursday Coastline once again in time for political coverage. Coastline's executive producer and today's phone screener is Cleve Callison. Producer is Isabel Shepherd. Technical director is Ken Campbell. If you missed part of this episode, look for it at WHQR.org or get the podcast from the iTunes store. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.